Yes, Luke chapter 2. I'm going to begin with the 21st verse. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother, referring of course to the baby's mother, marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned unto Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Amen. And thank God for that. Amen. I said, thank God for that. Filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him.
One. Lord,
we just pray, dear God, that by the Spirit, your Holy Spirit, you will indeed, dear God, instill within us an ever-deepening love, Lord, for you and your holy word. Help us to know, dear God, that we must know you for who you are. Not just know about you, but know you. And especially as we are about to embark on a new year. I want to thank you for this past year. Nobody said it was a bowl of cherries, I suppose, as the saying goes. Nobody said it was just going to be no big deal, or that it was going to be just as easy as could be. Life has a lot of twists and turns in it. And we know, dear God, that you are the one that can get us through it. And the same coming up for this next year, dear God, we just desire that we will just know you. We will know you. And let you lead us and guide us in the way to go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Have you ever wondered? Have you ever wondered Do you ever think about this? When we turned the century back 17 years ago, some things became very obsolete, just technically speaking. You know, what about the company out in Hollywood called 20th Century Fox? When we came into the 21st century, which people have been talking about for a long, long time, you know, 21st doesn't mean it's 2100 and something. You know, with this, they call this the 21st century. They called it that all the way through the 1900s, okay? That this was going to be the 21st century. And that last century was the 20th century. Now, is that confusing enough for you? Well, here's the thing. That company's obsolete. I think a lot of people wondered at the time, what were they going to do? Were they going to change their name? Or what about 20th Century Data? That's a company down in Dallas, Texas. 20th Century Data. But they got to do something with their name too, you know. 17 years ago, when we became a new century, did you ever wonder about that? Did you ever wonder about the things that become obsolete when you enter into a new year versus what's always been? Time, in a sense, has caught up with these companies, and they are a century behind. Should they change their names? Consultant Frank Delano says, you can't do business in the 21st century with a 20th century name. You need a name that is really universal with no limitations. Now, I'm not going to pretend to know what either of these two 20th century companies did about their name. I don't follow that kind of stuff. I don't know. Okay? I'm just saying it doesn't make any sense coming into a new century altogether and they're still called the same thing. Through the ages, Christians have worshiped a Savior who is not bound by time. Companies' names and so forth can be very much bound by time. Time sensitive, as they call it. You know, a lot of times when we send out our newsletters and so forth, you know, they're time sensitive. They're intended to be sent out at a certain time. So when the printer doesn't get it to us a week later, it kind of throws things off. I mean, fortunately, I'm enough ahead of the schedule. Did anybody know that I was ahead of the schedule? You figured that? Okay. Well, then it doesn't really affect us. That's on purpose, people. That's on purpose, you know? For cases when that happens, when things get delayed, when things don't go along to time schedules, okay? So that it doesn't get obsolete, you know? So we're not sending something in the wrong month, for example. Okay? All right. In Revelation 1, chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus Christ identified himself by saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. He called himself the first and the last in verses 11 and 17. And then in verse 18, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. We've got to know, not just next week at Epiphany, but we've got to know right now, if we don't already know already, in past months and weeks, who Jesus really is. That's why the new year starts out with a season called Epiphany. Epiphany meaning something that is manifested. Epiphanero, Something manifested, something made obvious, something made conspicuous. We'll get into that more as we move into that season. But just to kind of lay the groundwork for it, do clocks and calendars in your own lives, do clocks and calendars leave you exhausted? Or are you just plain not paying any attention to them? Jesus Christ is the master of time. You've got to know that. We've all got to know it. Has death brought the pain of separation? Jesus Christ is Lord of eternity. Are you facing unwanted changes in the coming days, weeks, months? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13, verse 8. Have failures filled you with despair? Jesus Christ is risen, the victor over death and the grave. It's true in every century. His name is universal. It does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he is without limitation. Amen. Jesus is the timeless name. Jesus is the timeless name. Have you ever wondered about that? Have you ever maybe heard somewhere else or read somewhere else that there's other ways to see these things? And have you wondered about it? Well, I'll tell you where you turn. You don't turn to some commentary. You don't turn to some local, or not local, but modern author, you know, for the answer to these things. This is timeless. Amen? And the name that this book proclaims is timeless. Praise the Lord. Amen? And anything that contradicts that and conflicts with that is to really be ignored. The name of Jesus is timeless. Now, you know that that's the English word for the Greek Iesus, which is Jesus, okay? Which comes originally from the Hebrew Yeshua, okay? I mean, you know that. You know there's a connection with all of that. But in our Bibles, even our King James makes it clear. It's Jesus. And numerous times, it puts it capital J, capital E, capital S, capital U, capital S. In other words, it's Jesus. Amen? There's no messing around with this one. Amen? And yet people do, and people try, but there's no legitimate messing with it. I'll put it that way. The name of Jesus is timeless. We find it all through the Christmas story, okay? And we found out over the past few weeks in the season of Advent that that's what really mattered. It mattered what those angels said when they came to those people and told them about this baby, right? So, for example, let me show you, and we'll flip around a little bit to do this. Turn back, you're in Luke 2, right? Turn to Luke 1. Just take a minute. Luke 1, verse 31. This is the angel speaking to Mary in the little town of Nazareth, okay? And behold, this is verse 31? Yes. Chapter 1, verse 31. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, talking to Mary now, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Capital J, capital E, capital S, capital U, capital S. Now, you know, different versions, I suppose, could put it different ways. I'm talking about the King James. So all capital. It's meant to emphasize it. It's Jesus and it's nothing else. Amen? All right. What about Joseph? Well, okay, turn back to Matthew. The early part of Matthew. Just flip back there. It's Matthew chapter 1. And it's in the story of the angel coming in a dream to Joseph, right? And look at verse 21. And the angel is still explaining things to Joseph and says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Capital J, capital E, capital S, capital U, capital S. For, in other words, this is what the word Jesus actually means, he will save his people from their sins. That's why he's named Jesus. Amen? So, there's no other name. Amen? Verse 25, same chapter, verse 25. And he knew her not, referring to Joseph, purposely stayed away from her physically, so that it could quite honestly be said, I did not cause this child. Okay? He knew her not, that's what that means, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name. He called his name. Joseph called his name Jesus. Capital J, capital E, capital S, capital U, capital S. Praise the Lord. Both these now-to-be parents, if I could put it that way, were both told his name, and they explicitly stated it was Jesus, gave no room for other interpretations, no room for anything else. There it is, Jesus. There's no wondering there. You don't have to debate it. You don't have to say, well, I heard this, or I saw it in this book, or I was reading this guy and he said this. No, it's Jesus. Amen? Let's be real clear. There's no debating it. There's no wondering it. There he is. There's his name. But did you ever wonder this? Did you ever wonder about this? Now, we're led to believe that Jesus was, more than led to believe, I think it's pretty clear, that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. They were out in that, whether it was a stable or just out by a manger or just what it was. But they didn't stay there day in and day out for a long time. They probably got going in the coming days for finding a house. We know when the wise men came, they were in a house. I'm guessing they probably rented it. Okay? So, there's something going on in these days that follow the actual birth of Jesus. And have you ever wondered what those things are? Okay? Have you ever wondered what those things are? Jesus was newborn when the shepherds checked him out. And then the next thing we hear about is the dedication of Jesus, which is when? What? 8 days later. Do you know why? Eight? I think it has something to do with God's calendar. I think it has something to do with his timetable, his schedule. All right? You know what he did? He created the earth and all the stuff for 6 days. Is that not right? Then we're told on the seventh day, he rested. Not like he needed a nap or anything. It's just to express that it was a lot of work to make everything. Do you think it would be a lot of work to make everything? All right? And of course, he just speaks it into existence, but he had to do some fair amount of speaking. Okay? Anyway, so he had the seventh day to rest. That's what the Bible says. So what do you think happened the eighth day? I think that's when God got going. I think that's when God got moving. I think he went ahead and went beyond creation. Amen? You ever wonder what happened on the second day after his birth? What about the third day? Or the fourth day, the fifth, the sixth. We know on the seventh he rested. I mean, I'm talking about when Jesus was born. What about the second day, the third day, the fourth day? Okay? What about the seventh day? You see, other things had to have happened. They were people. The things have to happen. They had to get into a house. You can't stay out in the field all the time. And so, you know, now they're going to be in a house. There's probably 1,000 things, praise God, that would be in their lives over that time period. Did you ever wonder about that? Did you ever think about it? Did it ever occur to you that the Bible is not the full of everything that ever happened to Jesus or to God? or to God's people. Amen? I'm wondering, did you ever think about any of that? Did you ever wonder what they did for that week before they went to Jerusalem and had Jesus dedicated? There had to be other life experiences. There had to be other things that have happened. Like I said, you know they had to get into a house. By the time the wise men show up, they're in a house, the Bible says. See, you got to go by what the Bible says. It doesn't matter what some commentary says. If it's contrary to the scriptures, forget it. Some author, he's got a book down at the Christian bookstore. Big deal. If it contradicts what the Bible says, forget it. Amen? Because the Bible is what we've been given by God. Praise the Lord. Amen? The Gospels were never intended to be an exhaustive biography or autobiography. They were never intended to be that. In fact, the Bible says that Jesus spoke more and did more than the Bible says. A lot more. In fact, it says if everything was written down, the world could not contain the books that could be written. So this is not exhaustive as to what Jesus did. So we don't know what happened in those 7 or 8 days before they went to the temple. But praise God, they went to the temple. Would you look at Luke chapter 2, please? Luke chapter 2, verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, the cutting away of the flesh, of the self-life, his name was called Jesus. J-E-S-U-S. All in caps. Which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And we already saw that, right? When he appeared to Mary, he said, it's Jesus. When he appears to Joseph, he says, it's Jesus. Amen? There's nothing else. It's Jesus, praise God. You see, this part of the dedication was about a legal recording. It would be somewhat similar to if we had to, after the birth of a child, if we had to go to the courthouse and sign some papers. Now, that's all done by mail now. I suppose it's even done by email now. I mean, I suppose it's moved into that thing. Anyway, you don't have to go to the courthouse and you know, make sure everybody knows what the child's name is. That was all done at the temple in Jesus' day. It's like a legal proceeding. It was from the law. It was from the Word of God. This dedication, a legal recording of the legal name in every instance, whether it was to Mary or to Joseph or now, right now, in the temple, in verse 21, he was called Jesus. Amen? His name is Jesus, the one who saves his people from their sin. You know, recently, someone once told me, this was back several weeks ago, somebody said that, I don't know whether they read this somewhere or whether they just kind of came up with this, whether they saw it in some commentary, whether they saw it in some modern book or whatever. But he said specifically and without equivocation, he said that the name that was given to Jesus at his dedication was Yakin Yeshua Alpheus. Yakin Yeshua Alpheus. Find that in here. You're not going to find it in here. Because he was called Jesus. Amen? That's, I don't know, made up? Somebody, you know, some people just want something new. You know? They just want, see, that's the problem with coming into a new year. Because basically, our instinct is, I just want something new. I don't want any of that old year anymore. I want this new year, and I want everything to go the way I want it to go. It's going to be new, okay? And people just are just scraping to find something new, and even something like this. You know, the name that was given Jesus at his dedication was Yakin Yeshua Alpheus. That's not true. It's not true. The Bible says it was Jesus. Amen? So let's be real clear about that. We'll get along a lot better in our spiritual walk and our journey and our church life and everything else if we just go by this book. Amen? That other stuff isn't in here. Okay? Somebody said it. Somebody wrote it, maybe. Maybe it was in a commentary. Maybe one of these modern authors, you know, that have their books in the Christian bookstores and so forth. And they seem to be able to say whatever they want to say. And then people latch onto it because, oh, I didn't know that. I never heard that. Now all of a sudden a bunch of people believe that his name is Yakin Yeshua Alpheus. I even looked up what these other names are. Now Yeshua, of course, is the Hebrew for Jesus. You know, Joshua is our English term for that, going back way back to the book of Joshua. And we understand that. But this Yakin Alpheus, Yakin simply means a thousand. Big deal. What are you saying about Jesus with that? A thousand. I mean, there are things you could say, but that'd be you saying it. It'd be me saying it. It wouldn't be God saying it. Does everybody get what I'm saying? We'd do a whole lot better if we just went by what God says, and God clearly said his name was Jesus. Is that right? Amen. I got a nod from the front, right? Another nod from the front, right? Praise God. Now, granted, I'm not saying, I mean, commentaries can be helpful. I use Wycliffe's Bible commentary a lot, okay? But if it contradicts something in the Bible, I don't run with it. You know, I mean, the Bible says what the Bible... See, what God wants us to have is already in here. He's already led this book to be what we need. Okay? I mean, plain and simple. A commentary or a modern book or whatever can elaborate some historical background, and that can be helpful. But believe it or not, you can get into the Bible and find out the historical background. It may take more hunting than some, you know, book that says, here's the historical background. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I'm not having a problem with that necessarily. But when something starts contradicting what the Bible clearly states, like his name is Jesus, and specifically that it was given to him as his legal name. Amen? This is important when you're dealing with this mixed family that we have, you know, this Mary and this Joseph and so forth. We've got to know that this Jesus is indeed King. Praise the Lord. Amen? Don't let these other things you hear, if you find the Bible says clearly something, you don't need anything more clear than that. We have what God has given. Praise the Lord. You must never let them fill you with ideas that are contrary to what the Bible specifically states. If you're still over there in chapter 2 of Luke chapter 2, look at 22 and following. Watch this. And when the days of the purification, according to the what? According to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him, to give him, okay, to cause to stand near or before, okay, to be persistent, to present him to the Lord. They're presenting him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb. Do you see what I'm saying? Here's the background information. You need more than that? I mean, it tells you why they're there, why they went there, why they're doing this thing, why he's getting his name officially pronounced and so forth. Because every male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. There's your background information. I don't need more than that. Amen? Do you see what I'm saying? I don't need to go to some place and find some book in the Christian bookstore and find something like that. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, And the man's name, the same man, was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. Praise the name of Jesus. The world and even Judea and Israel and all of that area, it was a time of deplorable spiritual conditions. But there was a man whose name was Simeon, who was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now that's a good thing, people. You better be thankful there was a man in those days filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Devoted to God and filled with the Holy Spirit, waiting in faith, patience, and great longing for the coming of the Messiah. Likewise, in the last days of this present age, which we are crazily speeding towards, when many abandon the New Testament apostolic faith, and believe me, a lot of people are abandoning it. I mean, just suggesting that Jesus' name was different than Jesus is abandoning the Bible. Okay? And the blessed hope of the coming of Christ, there will always be a faithful Simeon. Thank God for that. And more than one. We got to be thankful for that. Amen? Praise the name of Jesus. Others may place their hope in this life and this world, but the faithful will be like the loyal slave who keeps watch through the long, dark night, waiting for the return of his master. Our greatest blessing is to see the face to face, the Lord's Christ, Jesus, capital J, capital E, capital S, capital U, capital S, Jesus, to be ready when he comes and to dwell forever, excuse me, in his presence. It was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost. Good thing he's filled with the Holy Ghost, right? Because it was revealed by the Holy Ghost. Okay, doesn't have to run to other books, doesn't have to run to other things to find something new and exciting. It was revealed by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus at that very time to do for him after the custom of the law. How many times is that mentioned in here? 1, 2, 3, 4. I see at least 4, maybe 5 times the law is mentioned. What's the law? It's the Word of God. Amen? Word of God says his name is Jesus, people. His name is Jesus. Let somebody else be named Joaquin. Some people just, they got to have something new. I don't know. It makes them look smart. You know? Hey, that guy's got something new. Well, he must be smart, you know. And then there's a jockeying for position and pats on the back. And boy, you sure are a student of the word. Just the opposite. Not a student of the word at all. Into some other book that tells you something different from what the Bible says. That's not a student of the word. Amen. You can't add a jot. You can't add a tittle. You can't add anything. None of God's word is going to pass away. And not only that, in God's mercy, he planted this older couple at the very same time Mary and Joseph brought the child in. At the very same time, he brings this couple in. I call them a couple, but it doesn't mean they were married or anything. They weren't married. They weren't even going together. You know, I mean, they were there at the temple. Simeon and Anna. Let's take a look at that. We'll just go through it briefly. Okay? Simeon, he knows. God's Spirit told him, you know, that he's ready now to depart in peace. I'm ready to die. I'm ready to go. You know, I've seen the Lord's Christ. I've seen this J-E-S-U-S. I've seen this one. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. See, Jesus means the one who saves people from their sin. So Simeon knows he's seen the salvation of the Lord, right? which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles. Just in time for Epiphany, praise God. Or was Epiphany just in time for this? Think about it. The glory of thy people Israel. Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set. This child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, for a sign which shall be spoken against. He was even prophesying the trouble that Jesus was going to be having throughout his years and the rejection that was going to come his way and so forth. And then in parentheses, basically, it's added here, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul too. It's like Simeon turned right to Mary, right to Mary, looked her right in the face, right in the eye, and said, a sword is going to pierce through your own soul also. You're going to see your own son on a cross, pierced for our salvation. That the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. So it's going to end up being for a good purpose. Praise God for that. And not only was Simeon there, but Anna was there. Now Anna was a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. Now, the wording here is a little confusing. Some people take it to mean one thing. Some people take it to mean another. Sounds like she's been a virgin for 84 years. Let me put that differently. That she's been widowed for 84 years. She was married, remember, then her husband died. And now she's lived a long time. Bible makes that clear. She lived a long time from her virginity. Okay? And so it could be that she's actually, been widowed for 84 years. You hear of people having lost their husbands and wives, and they've been gone for 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, and things like that. 84 years, if this is interpreted in that way. She was widow of about, 84 years. So was she 84 years old, or was she 84 years as a widow? Either way, the lady's old. Amen? She's old. Right? I think Amma's old. This is old. Amen? Did you get that, Lily? Okay. It was for you. But serve God with fasting. She didn't leave the temple. I don't know what they have. The grocery pickup at Walmart or something. I know. She didn't leave the temple. Okay? Anyway, she lived there. They had little apartments here and there for the special people like prophets and prophetesses and so forth. And she evidently lived in one of these little apartments. And she served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant, she just happened to come in. Happened to come in by happenstance? No. This was by God's order. Amen? But there she shows up. Just in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law, praise God, of the Lord, they returned into Galilee and their own city, Nazareth. Praise God. And the child grew, thank God for that, and waxed strong in spirit. Thank God for that. And filled with wisdom and what? The grace of God was upon him. I think as we move out of this past year and we move into this new year, let's be thankful that we have the Word of God. Amen? And an ever deepening awareness of what really is in the Word and what really isn't. So that we can be clear on that. Amen? It's one reason I suggest everybody be reading through the Bible. in a year, because you get clearer and clearer picture of what's in the Bible. Amen? I had a guy one time come up to me and he says, oh yeah, well, I believe the Bible. It was at one of the nursing homes, I think. And I believe the Bible, you know, and I believe every word in it, you know. And then I just kind of asked a couple of rather innocent sounding questions, and it was clear the guy had no clue what was in here. Didn't know any of the stories. I mean, I didn't scan every story, but, you know, he did not know the Bible, and yet he just said, I believe the Bible. How can you say you believe the Bible and not know what's in it? Amen? We don't need the add-ons. We don't need the reinterpretations. We don't need the new ideas. We don't need a different name for Jesus. It's been good all along, praise God. Amen? We already have what we already have been given. Amen? And thank God for that. Jesus. J-E-S-U-S. And no matter the century, it's timeless. Amen? It's timeless. So if you have ever wondered about other things, like, you know, is this something I should latch on to? Is that something I should latch on to? Make sure you know what the Bible says, because then you can say, no, I should leave that alone. I've got the Bible. I've got the Word of God. Amen? Praise the name of Jesus. Forget the other stuff. It's not needed, and it's only going to follow you up. It's only going to draw you away from what the truth is. We have what we need to have, and that's Jesus and His Word. Remember I told you about the guy that came to the nursing home and was trying to tell people that, you know, that nowhere in the Bible does it say that Jesus was the Word? Yes, it does. In John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's Jesus Christ. Amen? So, you know, people come and people go and they say things and people read things and all the rest of it. But here's the Word of God. And here's Jesus. Amen? Praise the name of Jesus. Let that be your authority as you leave this old year behind. And as we move into this new year, let that be your authority. Amen? The timeless name of Jesus, who saves us from our sins. Father, I want to thank you, dear God, for this very true word, dear God, that I know is right from your heart. We can all get inundated with different things. People come up with this or that, or they've read something. You know, I saw this, or I read that, or I think this and I think that. I don't believe it exactly the way the Bible puts it and all the rest of it, dear God. We got to be warned by that, Lord. We got to be warned that stuff is not of you. What's of you is right here in this book. Praise God. And I know we can have different ways of seeing things that are in this book. And that's all okay, as long as we don't try to contradict this book. And that's what a lot of times is happening. So I thank you for that, Lord. We can understand things differently. But the fact of the matter is, we can delve into the Bible and it will help to straighten us out. So praise the name of Jesus. So we want to exalt you. We want to lift you up. We want to thank you, dear God, that you are the Lord over all things. And as we enter this new year, dear God, we just want to see you be who you really are. We want to know for a fact what this Jesus is all about and what the Word of God is all about and what our relationship with God is all about. And we thank you, Lord, for this gathering here today, because it's all about you. Praise the name of Jesus. It's all about you. Lord, we just pray this all, dear God, in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Have you